You know, I want to say two things. I apologize to you, Joyce. I should always listen to you because I was supposed to call the speakers first. This is my first time, and Pat left me up here, but God got my back, so I'm all right. Now I'm going to call the speakers up here. And it's funny because we're only supposed to have two rows. That shows you how many people have stayed sober from the time this started. Two rows. Look at this. And we're going to have about 50 more chairs because a lot of folks over here I know just waiting to move over there. So now we're going to have a Mark D. Sobriety Day, September 25th, 1988. Mark D. Oh, that's Mark. Have a seat, Mark. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. So, okay. Here. Thank you, Mark. Okay. We're going to ask each speaker to 7 minutes. Usually it's 10, but there were so many people, so, and we're supposed to get out on time. Then we got a Grace O. February 23rd, 1986. Right. I didn't see her. Where's Shirley B? 42782. Where's Shirley? She here? I didn't see Shirley. Okay. I'll get another name. Here's my sister. Come on, Nellie.
All right, Nellie!
No, Shirley B. is right here, y'all. Might ask some questions. Some things I do know. Brandon F., November 20th, 1975. Is he here? Okay, I'll get another person. All right, let's see who this is. People got tired of waiting, eh? Paula St. Clair, 12/20/1982. All right, Paul. That's sweet. Have a seat, Claire. Thank you. Ooh. Stepping Stones is in the house. Come on, Melvin. So I don't want y'all to think this weird. My anniversary date is January the 11th, 1980, and my home group is the Stepping Stones. And what I like to say is I heard everybody say that their group is the best group. That means AA is the best place. And now we have our oldest member of Stepping Stones. Come on, Jimmy. Never had three Stepping Stone members at one time. We meet on Saturdays at 7 o'clock in the Bronx on 96th Street. We have rotating meetings. Come and see us. Five o'clock, right. All right. I must not be a member in good standing. I said 7. We used to meet at 7. So we're going to ask each person to speak for about 7 minutes. If you would please follow that so we can get out, because if not, the 10 minutes would run us very over to the next group, and that's a marvelous thing. I'd like to thank you all. I'm going to say what I'm going to say now and get it over with. I'd like to thank God and AA for bringing a drunk like me and say, you're home, Hermina. Thank God I'm home. Come on. What's your name? Mark?
My name is Mark, and through God's grace, and only by God's grace, I'm a recovered alcoholic. Wow. got a short story. Won't be 10 minutes. I belonged to a home group. We used to have this old-timers brunch, right? And they would honor those with 25 years. But if you had, at the time we first started, the group conference, if you had 15 years, they would give you like 2 minutes to say something, right? So I had left in 15 years, so I kept coming. And then I had 15 years, then they raised it to 25 years. All right, I can work with this, and I'll keep coming again. Then by the time I got to 25, did they stop having the brunch? I'm still not really taking it personal. So now I come up to the convention. This is the first year that I could like put my name in the box, right? And I'm like, oh, it's right, especially they give you a little tag that says old timer. And I know they heard about a long time, but I'll work with old timer because that's what it was when I came. So, wow, I just think, well, you know, maybe they'll put my name at the house, but I'd expect first one out of the box. Wow. I don't know, God is awesome. Anyway, I mean, I'm here with some of my home group members. They came up to keep an eye on me, but I'm grateful, and I just close with this, they stayed to keep the door of the home group open this morning. They kind of gave me a pass. They let me, they'll be passed by one to come up to the convention, so I'm very grateful to them. I'm grateful to AA as a whole. There's a lot of people that came before me. A lot of people that really sacrificed a lot to help me out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. That's what Mark did for keep coming. They did that at St. Nicholas, too, when I was a member. 15 years. I got 13. They raised it to 20. I got 19, they raised it to 25. By the time they got to 25, I said, no, I'll just sit in the audience. He just kept coming. Are you Grace?
No,
come on, Paula.
Hello, everyone. My name is Paula, and I'm a grateful alcoholic and miraculous alcoholic because... there's no reason why I should be standing here. You know, I'm kind of nervous because my first thought was I have a broken nail, and I know you guys can all see it, and you're thinking something about it. No, it's just a joke. I also want to say me alegro que en este fin de semana que la persona de los alcohólicos y otros que hablan español tienen un hogar bastante fuerte en esta comunidad. God, even the Spanish people didn't understand me. Oh, Lord. I tried. What can I say? I work in Washington Heights, you know, like Spanish is kind of a survival skill. Thank you. Like I said, I got sober in Sacramento, California. I was 21 years old, and alcohol had stopped working for me. And, you know, people talk about high bottoms and low bottoms and digging and rock bottom, and I don't understand any of that stuff because I've seen people that, like, needed this program more than I ever did, and they're not done. I can't explain that. I just can't. But it does say in the big book that we come to a place where we can't envision life either with alcohol or without it. He will be at the turning point. He will wish for the end. And that's what got me here. I could always imagine life with alcohol. I could not imagine life without alcohol. But when I got to the day when I couldn't imagine life with alcohol or without it, alcohol and I had to part ways. And the thing that was really scary was by the time I decided we had to part ways, we couldn't. And that's what when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've been sober, God willing, since my first meeting. like I said, I've traveled around a lot in sobriety. I got sober in Sacramento. I moved to San Francisco. I moved to Rochester, New York. I moved to Pittsburgh. And now I'm here. And none of those were geographics. You know, a geographic is when you go somewhere and you try to be somebody different and you try to change things and you think you're going to make things different. And that was none of these. These were always, I was going to the next place. I was going to the next phase in my life. When I got to this program, I could hardly put a sentence together. One of the guys that helped me so much, Dale Ansbach of blessed memory, pissed and puked in the alleys of Sacramento, California for 7 years, and he called me sewer mouth. So I'd had a boyfriend whose nickname for me was Dumb C-U-N, you know, and our arguments were such that when I asked him not to call me that, the argument ended with me apologizing for asking him not to call me that, you know. And that's how sick I was when I got here, you know. That's how sick I was. And sobriety gave me so much. One of the most important things it gave me, I'm going to veer off a little bit. I've talked about this before, and I talk about it a lot. But I have bipolar disorder, and I had no idea. So after I got sober, everyone was getting happy, and I was getting sad, you know. And I finally had a breakdown when I was about 2 years sober. Didn't really understand it, spent a lot more years depressed. Had another breakdown when I was about 20 years sober, maybe. Started getting treatment, had another breakdown in September. And I'm on like 3 mood stabilizers and an antidepressant. And that's what it takes for me to function. And I just put that out there because, you know, people would get on me like, you know, I didn't have a program and I wasn't making it and I wasn't doing it right. And I had worked the steps and I did service and I sponsored and I was active and it wasn't working for me. The truth of the matter was it was working for me perfectly well. It kept me clean and sober. And it kept me connected to a God of my understanding that allowed me to get through those difficult things. And that's the greatest thing I could hope for, because you know what, guys? No matter who you are, no matter where you're at in your life, you're going to have difficult things, you know? And everybody here that's been sober even a year, you know, you're going to have deaths and divorce and bankruptcy and accidents and God knows what, you know? Those come into all of our lives. And that's when I need my higher power. You know, I heard an Al-Anon speaker one time talk. This was at the 1985 International Convention. I don't remember. Maybe 90. And she said, you know, her two sons had committed suicide within 6 months of each other. And she went to her sponsor, her Al-Anon sponsor, and she said, you know, how could God take my sons? And the sponsor said, God doesn't take. God receives. And God gave your sons the gift of serenity in the only way that they could accept it. And that's when that speaker said, you know, I needed a God that had some guts. I needed the God that went to Auschwitz. I needed the God that went on the Navajo Trail of Tears. And I have that kind of God in my life, you know. A few months ago, I'm going to share this and I'm done. A few months ago, I was like sinking into a depression, sinking. I felt like I was in a graveyard. I felt like it was just horrible. And I remember finally saying to God, I said, God, I will not give in. You have to do something. And it changed. And I understood that every single thing in my life belongs to God. Every breath I take, everything, my car keys, everything belonged to God. You know what? I mean, every single thing, you know, my cook pots, you know, my health, my hope, my faith, they all belong to God, not to me. And that gives me a lot of faith and a lot of courage. And I learned that in Alcoholics Anonymous. There was nothing a psychiatrist could have given me. There was no pill the psychiatrist could have prescribed that could have given me that medicine. I got it here. Thanks.
Thank you. Melvin.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Melvin. I'm a blessed alcoholic. And as you already know, my home group is Stepping Stones. I was just amazed to realize that the old timers this year take up about half of the room. I couldn't believe that. I had to turn around and take a second look. I said, damn. And they mentioned that there's going to be more next year. Yeah. But I'm blessed to be here. It's by God's grace that I am. I was trying to look natural by sitting there trying to take a nap and still be part of, And that was, my brain is still trying to do the impossible at times, But, a friend of mine, she snapped me out of it, She said, what, are you tired? I said, but it's a good thing to be here because we can laugh at ourselves. We are very self-entertaining, there's no lie to that, If you want to get a good laugh, come to enough meetings, you will get that, And the thing about it, when we go through certain things, they might be tragic at that time, or either we don't know that they're tragic at that time, because that's just the way we've been living. But then when we come here and realize the things we went through and how we've been spared by the grace of God, that's when we're amazed, to find out that God got a purpose for us we don't know nothing about. And I love coming here every year. I don't always be this tired. It seems like each year I get older, the tireder I get. So I got me some super energy pills, right? But they done wore off now. So now I'm ready to take a nap. But outside of that, I still stay sober, and I got the nerve to want to hang out and play cards and stay up the wee hours of the night and make alcathon meetings and. Now I went to bed 3:30 this morning and woke up at 5, and I'm wondering why I'm tired. but that explains why. But it's a sober tired. That's the good thing about it. It's not where that hungover tired or coming to, looking for the next one and trying to figure out who I got to avoid. I got to watch out for people and check my pockets and all this other stuff, see whose house I'm in and whatnot. Sometimes I had to even see what city I was in. I didn't know. But alcohol take us to a whole lot of different places. This is one place you can be high as hell without even flying. But at the same time, I remember heard a guy tell a joke one time. He said, boy, I just flew in from California, and boy, my arm's tired. So, yeah. But that was just a joke. We know that's not true. To tell you the truth, I didn't know what the hell I was going to say when I got up here. But it seemed like I have no problem right now. It's by God's grace that I'm saying what I'm saying, because I feel like somebody got their hand in my back and moving my mouth. But the thing about it, I'm just here. And I was surprised when Amina called my name. First thought went to my mind, she did that on purpose. But I know that's not true. And then she called Jimmy's name. I said, oh, Chuck, two of the home group members are coming up here. So I was waiting for a third one. That obsession set in after a while. Start thinking it's going to really get carried away. But I'm really blessed to be here and to see all you people here, because it's one of the places I like to come to is the conventions and the big meeting, the spiritual breakfast. You see people you haven't seen in a while, or you see the changes that people gone through and still here, and be inspired by those that, because I know Ronnie here is a member of our group, and he inspires me every time I see him, because he goes all over, being blind. That's just like they say in the book, one of the stories, a blind person can go any place they choose to, as long as they don't forget they're blind. Same thing with an alcoholic. We can go any place we choose to, as long as we don't forget we're alcoholic. And with that, I'm Melvin. I'm a blessed alcoholic.
After the meeting, if anybody think this was rigged, you can come see us. I did pick it out. Everybody was here. Not this time. Years ago, yes, I would have handpicked it. But then we wouldn't have qualified to be up here, so that's how it is. Come on, Grace.
Hi, I'm Grace. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be at a meeting. Grateful I have the sense to keep showing up. And I'm trying to remember just to breathe right now. I'm a little nervous. I've had the opportunity to do this before, and when I actually a couple times before, and so I knew that there was no way that I'd be able to be speaking today. But so here I am. So much for my thinking. Anyways, like I said, I got sober in Chicago, and I moved here, and you know what? I thought maybe I better get connected because I knew I didn't know anybody on the East Coast, and didn't know where meetings were or anything like that yet. And I thought, well, gee, nobody here knows that I can't drink, you know. I knew, you know. So thank God. You know, I have to say the greatest gifts I've been given in this program is a belief in a higher power that walks me through every day and lately has been carrying me, most of it. It's like you hold on for the ride, kind of, like that's where I've been the last couple years of my sobriety, and just because life has been handing me a lot of things, and apparently God seems to think I'm, you know, can handle it, or he's given me the people to help me get through it, and that's you. You know, and this program. I just lost my mom 6 weeks ago. So this is the first thing I've looked forward to since then. So I'm just really grateful to be here. And this last year I lost a gal that I sponsored for 10 years, right before my mom died. And 5 months before that I lost a dear sister-in-law, my little brother's wife. So it's been like, I've just had the seatbelt, the shoulder strap, a head strap, you know, like I'm on this like ride, like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, don't let me fall, just don't let me fall. And you know what, AA and the faith that I have has like been my cushion and my security net. And, you know, I know that I can get through anything. I don't have to pick up a drink. You know, I don't have to go back for my hat, like they say. You know, I'm one of those people who only came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous into a detox because I was looking at 20 years in the women's penitentiary, and I thought, yeah, this might be a better place, you know. But, you know, I had no idea, and I had no intention of staying here. But you know what happened was they carried the message to me, and that's why I love corrections and treatment, and did service with that for quite a long time. You know, I know if I didn't hear the message in that place that I never would be standing here today. And, you know, the light went on and there was this little flicker of, like, hope that they gave me that, like, maybe, just maybe I didn't have to die, you know. So, you know what, I'm just honored. I can't tell you how honored and so grateful for my family in AA that helps me live today. Thank you so much.
Nellie.
My name is Nellie. I am an alcoholic. And I'm so full of gratitude, and I can make a long gratitude list today. Hermina talked about being nervous. I see all of these people, and I say, what am I going to say? Am I going to be able to say anything in front of all of these people? I came in here a very sick and suffering alcoholic. And even before I became very active in service, I would go to the internationals and the conventions. And I had was at the banquet table last year with a couple that's sitting over here that identified themselves as convention junkies. And I like the conventions too. But it's amazing that this person who um, has been around and had many character defects, has been able to participate in last year's convention as a convention secretary, and here at this convention as a committee member and leading the workshop today, which I was very grateful to be able to talk about how I have been able to cope and how I was able to listen to other people and how they have been able to cope in their 25 years or more of being in this fellowship. For me, this fellowship is something that I have to keep coming to. I have to belong to. I can quit everything else in life. I can give up my apartment. I can move out of New York City because I know I can find AA other places and other cities and other states. I remember in the beginning, someone said to me when I was 2.5 years sober that I was going back to postgraduate school, and she said, "Are you able to handle it? Are you able to go back to school?" And I said, "Yes." And I was. And I realized that I could quit school, but I couldn't quit AA. And it took me a long time to get to the point of acceptance in the program. When I came in, I was just so crazy and so sick and so afraid and so ashamed to be a woman alcoholic. I was living in Manhattan, and my home group at the time was Mustard Seed. And I remember when the women's group started at Mustard Seed on a Sunday afternoon, and I remember sitting there feeling the realization that I am an alcoholic and that it is forever. That I could accept that, that there was a feeling that came over me, a knowing that I was an alcoholic and it was okay. Because for me, these rooms are my blessing. I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous the difference between spirituality and religiosity. Because I happen to be an elder in a Presbyterian church, and believe me, that ain't spiritual. This program keeps me sober as long as I come and as long as I practice the principles and recognize the fact that there is a way of living that's different than that way of living. Because believe me, I've just said it recently, churches make me drunk. But before I came into the program, I used to go to church drunk. But I don't really have to do that now. But these steps have taught me how to cope with even that, and how to carry on responsibilities there and carry on responsibilities in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I also made friends, deep friends, loving friends in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I happened to know Herminia a long, long time, from the beginning of our days of sobriety. And we had a dear friend who is dead now, but really helped us along the way and showed us our beginnings and helped us. And I have many friends who were in the program and sober who have deceased and helped me. And I remember one of them who was in recent years that died. "Nellie, you got the first half of the first step, but you sure haven't got the second half." That my life can still be totally unmanageable. But one of the things I can say is that I love the program. I love you all. Please keep coming, because I am going to keep coming no matter how much trouble I get myself into. I'm going to still be here. You'll still see me walking through the door. Thank you.
I'm one to believe that the longer you stay sober, the more sophisticated the disease of alcoholism gets. Look to the left and it's over there to the right. Look, talk to you. Sometimes gently, sometimes loud, sometimes with profanity, sometimes with love words. But it does talk to you. Thank God I ain't no graduation. I graduated everywhere. I remember seeing the play, the ballet, The Prodigal Son. The first time I had seen an Afro-American man dance, Arthur Mitchell. And he danced to The Prodigal Son. And he was the guy that went everywhere looking for home. Couldn't find home. I came here in 1962 looking for home. I came in 76 looking for home. And I had the nerve to come back through God's grace in 80 with a master plan. Maybe I just didn't belong here yet. Can't beat this. Can't beat this. Can't get too smart. My friend Roosevelt said you could never be too dumb, but you sure can be too smart for Alcoholics Anonymous. Smart yourself right on out that door. And things happened that it didn't happen before. When I came in 18, when I got back here, it took 3 days to feel better from 1 day of drinking, and I didn't know where I had been in them 3 days. Come on, Jimmy. This is my coworker. I worked, and he was just there, and he likes to tell that story. Come on, Jimmy, my buddy Jimmy.
Thank you very much. My name is Jimmy. I'm a very grateful alcoholic. And I'm looking over this crowd. This is a very large crowd. And I think the first time I came to the convention was in 77, and there was maybe one or two aisles of people with 20 years. One or two aisles. And this is it's a great thing. But anyhow, let me try to tell you a little bit about me. For most of my life, and especially in my 20s, I didn't believe I was going past 30. Okay. Somewhere along the line, just as I passed 30, my sister sent some people to the house, sent the guy to my house to take me up to the Catskills. And he told me, he said, listen, I'm going to get a jug, get your stuff ready, and we're going to go up to the Catskills. I got my stuff, and I was waiting for him to come back. He came back with the jug, and next thing I remember, I was sitting on the bench up in the Catskills. And I'm saying this because I never planned on stop drinking. I never planned on doing none of this stuff. Okay. I stayed there. I came home. And the first thing I did, and I'm glad I did it, because I came home from other places, and the first thing I did was go to the cop man or to the liquor store. The first thing I did is I went to a group in the Bronx named Mars Senior. Okay, that was the first thing I did. Now I'm getting ready to, with God's grace, be 40 in this fellowship. Okay. I never thought it would happen. I didn't even try for it to happen. But I just didn't pick up a drink and kept going to meetings when I had an opportunity to go. And as far as me working, I worked long enough. I worked long enough and hard enough to retire. But anyhow, getting back to what I was saying, I worked hard enough and long enough to retire. I never thought about retiring from a job. As a matter of fact, I never even thought about a job. Okay. But as I got sober, I got with people, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to always say this, you stay sober with people, not by yourself. Because if I had to get sober by myself, my mind would have told me it was better the other way. So it's with people that you get sober and you stay sober. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat, for the privilege. It's been a wonderful meeting. Jimmy said he retired. I retired from the same organization. He retired because they just got tired of him showing up and doing nothing. And they put your papers in and going about your business. Jimmy is a faithful member of the Stepping Stones. We have fun. I never laughed until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I had that alcohol drug grin that you didn't know you were grinning. That's the kind of grin I used to have. Somebody say, what you laughing at? Hell, I didn't know I was laughing. So with that, I think that I'm going to suppose to do something here and read something. It's been a pleasure. And next year, God's willing, if we all living and sober, we're going to need 2 hours. Damn, we're going to need 2 hours. Right? I met a young man today, Mike, I don't know if he's here. First day. First day. I don't see him. I was so glad to sit next to him. He said, thank you. I said, no, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Oh, see, a lot of things happen when you stay sober. You get older. I was old when I got here. I just didn't know it until they told me how old I was, though. I didn't know that. Alcohol, it erased the years, the months, the seasons, the time, and the reasons. I was almost 40, and I thought I was young when I walked in the convent. When they said, hey, we've been waiting on you, girl. Now, I've been in church all my life, and when the pastor dipped me down to be baptized, all my friends came up shouting and wet. I came up just wet. Couldn't shout. When I walked in the door to Alcoholics Anonymous, God touched my soul. And I've been happy ever since. This we owe AA Future, to place our common welfare first. Together we do it? Okay, Pat, let's let everybody stand up and let's do this together then. Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much. All right. I'd like to thank the speakers. Thank the speakers. Thank the speakers. Thank you. And the audience for being here for us. Okay. This we owe to AA Future, to place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united, for an AA unity depends on our lives and the lives of those to come. I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA to always be there. For that, I am responsible. Thank you. Thank you, darling.
I think you did this.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.